If you look at the world today, like how things are going on is quite interesting in regards to our leaders. Everyone is dissatisfied with, the kind of leaders that are there in the world. And there was some global statistics I was looking at, and it was saying approximately 70% of the entire world is dissatisfied with the leadership systems. Like they feel like our leaders, the people who are controlling the world, are basically just not really satisfying our needs and stuff like that. And I was looking at this book known as The Nectar of Instruction, which actually gives like a definition of what leaders should be like. So I wanted us to kind of like discuss that, and probably can give me your opinion on, on
Yes,
this.
leadership is a huge thing, isn't it? Like when I took up some leadership, whatever small leadership positions I've had over my time, I remember one person, he told me one thing. He said, if society has blind followers, that's really dangerous. But then he said, more dangerous than blind followers is if you have blind followers with blind leaders. And then he said, but then he said, there's something even worse. He said, worse than that is if you have blind followers with blind leaders, leaders who actually think they're right. That's even.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah, that's wow, crazy.
So I think we're kind of living in a situation like that, isn't it? Where it's really like not only are leaders often misguided, but they're in the consciousness that they actually think they're right, and that's probably even more dangerous. Topic.
It's reminding me of this saying. I think it was by Martin Luther King, where he said that we're having misguided men guiding missiles, in the world. So it's quite a tough one, because the vision and the mindset that they're probably having isn't a right one, and when we look at like how it's explained in like this book, and it talks about the kind of qualities that a leader should have. The first verse, which is quite an interesting one, I can probably even just read it. It says, a sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to have disciples all over the world. So it's qualified to be a leader. And if we look at like our leaders, who are all over the world at the moment, it's interesting because many of them are not really controlled in that sense. We see them, spending time on like a lot of lavish things, and focused on just pleasing the senses rather than actually being inspired to lead the population.
Yeah, this is like it's a really interesting concept, this verse from Rupa Goswami, who's the author of the book. He explains that only when you've controlled your own senses, and your own mind, can you actually lead others? And I thought a lot about this. Why is this the case that you have to control your mind and senses? And the conclusion I came to was it's two things. If we want to give a leadership position is ultimately a position of service, right? That's the basis from which we got to start. That leaders are not meant to control, they're not meant to exploit, they're not meant to utilize anyone else for their own ends, but they're meant to be servants to help others achieve the most they can. And if we're meant to be servants, then it means we have to give the best of ourselves to awaken that within others. But when you fail to control your mind and senses, the first thing is you can't give the quantity of your consciousness, in the sense that because you're going to be so self-absorbed in your own life, in your own things, in your own problems, in your own desires or whatever, you won't even be able to have time and space to think about others. So the quantity of the consciousness you can give to others becomes very limited when you're kind of struggling with your own mind and senses because you become very self-absorbed. But then the other thing is, not only can you give quantity of consciousness is limited, but the quality of the consciousness that you can give to others is also limited, because even when you are thinking about them, even when we are spending time with them, even when you are kind of lending yourself to dealing with them, you're probably going to be utilizing them for your own ends. And again, so not only can you not give enough time to others, the time that you do give ends up being very like a low quality is giving the best of yourself. So
You know, that's interesting. Also, I'm just trying to think about it, like our understanding, or probably my understanding of leaders is that, you know, they're given a set of expectations that they're just meant to reach, you know. So they're told, okay, they need to make sure that X is done. And so it's a very much logical thing for them. It's just like doing like a simple task. But by hearing you speak, there probably is supposed to be some sense of transformation that the leader should be having.
Yeah. I think, and you know, it's not just, that's why we make a distinction between a manager and a leader.
Mm.
Manager is almost someone who just has a list of tasks and okay, that's pretty straightforward in one sense. But a leader is meant to awaken the best within others.
Yeah.
Bring out the best in others. Give people faith, give people enthusiasm, give people vision, give people that sense of a brighter future. And that requires a relationship, isn't it?
So leading,
actually one person often said to me, your strength and your effectiveness as a leader is proportionate to the quality of the relationships you have with people.
Mm.
If you have no relationships with people, there's no question of leadership. And there's no question of relationships if you don't give quantity and quality time.
Now that's very true, actually, because even if you look at it, many of the leaders in our present day time don't even understand the people that they're leading. I was watching an interview with one of the leaders, I think in America, and he was being asked, do you know like the price of, you know, a simple loaf of bread and, you know, milk that the common man would be paying, and he had no clue. So yes, it's actually right when you say that, like how people are supposed to kind of guide us if they don't really understand us and have that relationship with us. Harsh over here says that there are not enough Sattvic leaders out there. They're more into achieving their KPIs, their key performance indicators. So that's all they're focused on like the goal.
It's almost like I sometimes think of a leader like a magnet. Like magnets can either repel or they can attract. So if a leader is constantly thinking about themselves, then they're almost like a magnet that just like repels others. People naturally don't want to be around such a leader.
Yeah.
But when you find like a leader who's always thinking of others, who's like actually concerned about what the people are going through, then you see naturally people come to that person. They don't need a title. People are just drawn towards someone.
Yeah, I know that's very, very true. And so the next question actually based on that is, what would our systems be like if we actually had controlled leaders?
What would our systems be like? Explain what you mean by that.
Yeah, so how like our governments and our how we can rely on them and actually make sure that they're fulfilling our needs and our desires, because everyone like, you know, in local grounds is crying for help because they think that there's no system that's running to ensure that my needs are satisfied, that I'm met as an individual. So looking at it from, you know, like this spiritual perspective, if we had actually controlled leaders, you know, what would they be able to bring that is at the moment lacking?
The biggest thing is when you have controlled leaders, then people can actually invest faith. Now, I like share this with you, like faith is the most amazing quality in creation. Because actually, if you see each one of us, we naturally want to invest our faith in others. There's like a natural kind of thing that I want to find someone that I can invest my faith in. Because we have this sense that when we put our faith in someone else, our faith in a qualified person, then our life can just immediately go to the next level. Our horizons can broaden, our potential expands, our happiness increases, and our sense of security just comes from that faith.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that naturally people want to put faith in the government. They want to put faith in, you know, their parents. I'm not sure if all the parents in the world can always feel that, but actually people, they do want to put faith. But what's happened in society is that our faith has constantly been undermined by leaders. And therefore we find in society, there's this kind of underlying skepticism of everyone and everything. Kids are skeptical of their parents. People are skeptical of the government. You know, brahmacharis are skeptical of the ashram leader. sometimes.
No, I don't think so.
because we've been let down.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, if we had good leaders, then it would go to rebuilding faith. Society. And when faith is there, societies can actually do amazing things.
No, definitely. Actually, it's reminding me of a previous election that was happening in my country. I'm from Kenya, and they noticed that the number of actually like from middle age to the youth, almost like 5% of them actually engaged in the voting process. And why they were asked is because they felt like they don't have faith in these people. These people are, yeah, exactly. They're not going to do anything. We have an interesting question here where Harsh is asking, how can leaders create the trust and safety now in this present situation?
Trust and safety. You mean for others to have faith in them?
Yes, exactly.
Well, you got to walk the talk. Example before precept. You got to practice what you preach. Integrity is such a big thing. People may not always, you know, sometimes they say, there's a famous quote that, I can't hear what you're saying because your character is speaking so loud. So sometimes leaders say many things, but what their character speaks is something so loud that even if they're saying something very powerful or beneficial, people will not be able to listen to it because they don't have that integrity.
Yeah.
Integrity is such a big thing in the world, you know, like to be the same on the outside as you are on the inside. And I think therefore leaders have to be very, very reflective. In the ancient scriptures, one of the ancient scriptures, Ramayana, we hear of Ram, who's considered the supreme, the divinity, the example of ideal leadership. And you know what he used to do?
What?
He used to go around the kingdom incognito.
Right?
As a normal person. Can you imagine walking into like, I don't know, like Asda or something and seeing like Boris Johnson, like, undercover.
Oh. Wow, yeah.
Ram used to go undercover in the society and listen out and see what are people saying about me? How do people feel? What's going on the So can you imagine if we would have such leaders who would be so open to the feedback?
Yeah, that would be actually transformational.
Yeah. Just give me 1 second, Ian. I'm just going to shut off one light. You can entertain the crowd while I come back.
Oh, no worries. But no, that's really interesting. And some people are actually bringing up more points. If you guys have any more questions or anything else that you'd like to add as well, it would be really, really good. We've got an interesting point here from one person that we know, known as Milan, and he brings up an interesting topic, and he's in regards to leadership, and he says that in a nutshell that people wouldn't be able to have even like a proper understanding of what a leader should be because the supreme leader, who is God, is kind of being put out of the picture. Hey, did you freeze for a moment? Did you hear, what happened?
sorry. Yeah, I'm back with you. Can you just say that again?
Oh, yeah. So basically, Milan was just saying that we need to also, we have a difficulty understanding our leaders at present. Why? Because we've forgotten to understand the greatest leader that exists among all the civilizations and, you know, being God, being the supreme divine energy. I don't know what you'd kind of say about that.
Yeah, and this is important that we've talked a lot about leadership, but underlying leadership should be a deep sense of spirituality. Like previously, they thought that leaders who had IQ, intelligence quotient, like were highly intelligent, were the best leaders, you know, because they could figure out the vision, they could problem solve, they could analyze the situation. they could basically block it in a moment. So high IQ, great leader. Later on, they realized that along with IQ, you need EQ. Because you can have the best intelligence, but if you don't have emotional quotient, you don't know how to control your anger, control your frustration, which, you know, leaders sometimes get frustrated and things.
Yeah.
To mediate relationships, how to deal with obstacles. These are all very emotional kind of things in a leader's life. So if you don't have good EQ, you can have the best IQ, but you won't be able to harness it because your emotions will overcome your intelligence.
Yeah.
So later on, they realized, IQ, but on top of that, you need EQ. But then later on, as analyzing it further, they found on top of IQ and EQ, if you actually have SQ, which is spiritual quotient, when a leader is intelligent, they're emotionally mature too, but then you add them to the equation, spirituality. They know about the divine. They know about the deeper journey that we're on. They know about the way in which the world is functioning. They know deeper aspects of people's identity and what they're really yearning for. And then what to speak of the qualities that the spiritual practice then manifests in their own character. So definitely as leaders invest in their own spirituality, beyond the intelligence and emotions, they tap into another source of power and wisdom, which definitely can help in leadership.
Oh, no.
You know, one thing I wanted to say, Ian, is like we're talking here about leadership and sometimes, leadership, that's like what you do in Goldman Sachs when you like work up the corporate ladder. Career leadership is one thing. But each of us in our lives, we're all leaders. Like on this call, some parents. Parents are leaders. On this call are maybe people who have, you know, younger cousins or people that look up to them. You're a leader then because they're looking up to you. On this call are maybe people who function within this spiritual movement and have positions of responsibility. They're leaders. Everyone's a leader. So these principles stand for everyone. Ask yourself, IQ, EQ, but what am I doing to invest in my SQ development?
Yeah, no, for sure. That actually, that makes a lot of sense because then if we have that understanding, then we'd even know what we require, you know, from these leaders and from the people out there as well. Because I was actually, the next question was going to be like, how can we be able to learn from this mantra, you know, and take it into our everyday lives? So that's really, really important, adding that spiritual understanding within ourselves and, you know, using that opportunity that we have to also, you know, be an example of leadership to the people that look up to us and, you know,
being an example, I'm really happy you made this point. Like, I tell you what, being an example, being exemplary is perhaps the most amazing contribution you can make to the world. Let me say this. Being exemplary is something universal. Every single person can do it. You don't need any special skill to be exemplary. You just need to live a life of integrity. You see, many other things, like not everyone can be a public speaker. You need an ability for that.
Yeah.
Not everyone can be a musician. You need ability for that. But everyone can be exemplary. It's universal. Being exemplary is not only universal, but it's appreciated by everyone. You see, like sometimes we give classes, some people like it, some people don't.
Yeah.
Sometimes people like your music, they don't like your music. But if you're exemplary, if you have integrity, everyone will appreciate it. Because everyone is drawn towards integrity, purity, naturally. So not only is it something everyone can do, it's something everyone will appreciate in everyone else. Not only that, let me tell you this, being exemplary is something you can do. It's a service you can render to the world at every single moment of the day.
Wow.
The other services are time bound. Like, okay, we're doing Instagram now, so we do it between 6 and 7, and then that's it. We just cut it an hour. That's it. Otherwise, people will get sick of us and like.
Yeah.
But being exemplary, you can do it every moment of the day. So sometimes we think like, oh, how am I going to change the world? I can't do anything to change the world. I'm not a great charismatic person like Ian, you know, I can't.
Oh, please.
But maybe the best thing we can all do for the world is just to be exemplary in our conduct, in our words, in our motivations, and in our genuine desire to help others. And perhaps that will make the biggest change to the world. I often think about that, of course, because I'm falling short there.
Oh, no. I feel like you're actually giving us things that you're, you know, deeply introspecting about. Wow, that's really nice. Oh, you kind of forbid it. Oh, no.
Think about that being.
Oh, no, that's really nice. Another thing I wanted to touch on, actually, that you mentioned, you know, you talked about, you know, them having this integrity, this internal sense of, you know, purity and actually factoring in like spirituality in their lives. You know, if we can draw the line, probably, is this something that people actually should do internally? Because some people might think, oh, no, they can have a show of these things externally and make it work because it's what it's externals that are mattering in this day and age. Or is it something that they have to work on both extremes?
You see, both nourish each other.
Mm.
If we act in a certain way, it can help us to engender a certain internal mood. And when we have a certain internal mood, then naturally that will reflect in the way we act in the external world.
Yeah.
Sometimes there is some truth to the statement, you have to fake it to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I do give some footnotes to that. So fake it till you make it. Okay, good. Yeah. But be careful of number one, don't fake it so much that you think you've made it.
Wow. I like that.
Don't fake it to convince other people that you've made it.
Mm.
But fake it till you make it means, okay, act in a certain way. And internally, your desire to actually become like how you're acting, it should match your external act. So the internal aspiration to actually genuinely and naturally imbibe this quality, that internal desperation should match your external, cultivation like that.
Yeah, no, and it's, yeah.
Uh-huh. So, you know, so I was just going to say, yeah, we do have to sometimes, you know, like we don't always feel tolerant. We don't always feel humble. But when we feel our anger rising, at least externally, sometimes we have to grit our teeth and say, okay, you are right. Oh, you are right.
Yeah.
Internally, we should think, no, actually, I need to become humble, you know.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's nice that you mentioned that as well, that, you know, if you work on actually getting these qualities eventually, because some people might get frustrated on the fact that I don't have these qualities. So how can I even be thinking about assuming roles of leadership? How can I think about actually taking those kind of steps?
It's a great point. Yeah. But the leadership, you see, like when you're in a position of leadership, it almost forces you to become selfless if you really want it to work. And therefore, you can't say, I'll become selfless and then I'll become a leader, because it's the very leadership and the positions you're put in and that helps you to become selfless. So leadership is also very much about the leader's own transformation. Sometimes the leader thinks, oh, well, here I am. I'm the one that's going to help everyone. But the leader is a doctor. And a patient.
Oh, wow. So it's a purificatory process for them as well.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why the leader should realize that, realize the boundaries of their own authority. You see, this is also another problem, that a leader, if they're not in touch with their own deficiencies, their own imperfections, then they can end up trying to project an expectation of authority that's way beyond what they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, when one understands, you know, well, I'm a work in progress, I'm not perfect. And, you know, if someone was managing me, I'd probably be like a difficult character to deal with. Then what is, when they're a leader and they lead people, they're more realistic in terms of how they deal with people. And therefore, people can naturally relate to them more.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. And it's nice you bring up that, because you got another question that was actually asking, how do we manage expectations, you know, as a leader, like the things that we expect from people? And, you know, at times it works and at times it doesn't work. So what can we do in our position to make sure we don't go too crazy, or we don't do or make rash decisions?
Yeah. Leader should have a few things. And one of the most important things a leader should have is people to talk to. As they said in the old, it's good to talk. So sometimes it can be very lonely on the top, because you got to make the decision and then the heat's on you. But what happens is, if a leader is intelligent, then what they'll do is they'll make sure there's plenty of people around them to, number one, help them make good decisions, to counsel them through, you know, difficult situations. Mm-hmm. And to correct them if they actually do go wrong and go off the, and therefore, if you look at like the ancient system of societal structure, then the leaders, in one sense, on a practical level, were the ones who were managing the societies. But above them, they had advisors, very saintly counsel, who would then, you know, advise them on, and they had great respect for them. So always have people around you that can help you as a leader. That's really, really important.
No, thank you for that. Yeah, because I can imagine also, you know, like being in that position, you know, it can get frustrating because, yeah, as you said, all the heat's on you and you have to take the responsibility of making all the decisions and being the finger that takes is taking precedence over everything. So everyone is looking up to you as an individual. But having probably people that you express to and that you communicate with, who can also give you like other views on things, because at times we also don't get to see it ourselves.
It's really important that we make leadership a joyful thing. Because, you know, nowadays, sometimes people think, well, I'll do anything except become a leader. You know, I'm not going to become a leader. I'm just going to criticize. I'm going to get all the heat. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to make wrong decisions. And I'm going to get stressed out. And I'm going to have to work really hard. No, actually, the opportunity to lead is the greatest privilege to serve people in their lives. Because if people have a good leader in their life, how much they can achieve. We've all experienced that.
Yeah.
It's such a privileged opportunity, but we must do it in the right way, with the right support. And it actually becomes amazing. It's joyful. It's a beautiful service.
Wow.
One famous person who said, I never thought about leadership as a position. I just thought about leadership as helping people. And I thought, he said, to help as many people as I can in the most powerful way I can, I took up a position of leadership. But I never thought of it as a position. I thought of it as an opportunity to help people.
Yeah, wow. No, that's really, really nice. I really, really like that. And probably to conclude, actually, based on what you've just mentioned, we're getting a question from Harsh here, which is interesting. So he's asking you, who is a great example of a leader for you?
Oh, many, many, many great examples. Of course, the person that first comes to mind naturally is our founding teacher, Srila Prabhupada, who was someone... And I guess let me sum it up like this. Up in the Pari Ashram, you've seen, I got my locker. And years ago, there was one person who had a locker next to me. And on his locker, he had a quote of Srila Prabhupada. And the quote was something Srila Prabhupada said in the finals. And in the quote, he basically, it was a very simple quote. He said, I have no other motive. I am only planning how people can become happy. And for me, that's what made Srila Prabhupada such an amazing leader, that he had no other agenda, no other motivation, no other hidden kind of, thing behind the background that, it was just really to make people happy.
Yeah.
And that was reflected in everything he did. He traveled, he exerted so much effort. Not only gave mass teachings to many people, but he worked with individuals on the ground to the extent that when he wanted to teach them how to clean a floor properly, that he would go down on his
knees and do it.
Wow. And someone who was followed. He was followed from morning to evening. All of his lectures were recorded. All of his every movements were watched, but he was never found to be hypocritical. He was never found to be duplicitous. He was never found to be saying this, but then doing this, complete integrity. Yeah. And these are the ingredients. These are the ingredients that we aspire for. Let us really think about that, how we can become better leaders, because each one of us are leaders in our own rights.
Yeah, wow, that's really, really amazing. Thank you for that. That's actually kind of inspiring me to, one day be able to assume this role and never be feared by it and actually work to make people happy. And I'm sure the rest of the audience as well is quite appreciative of that as well. So thank you so much. I think we can call it, one.
To be on Instagram.
Yeah, no, for sure. No, it's good. And hopefully we'll have you here more. Actually, someone was asking, are you going to be here this time every day?
We'll try maybe once a week or something.
Yeah, exactly. I will try probably make this once a week and, we'll see how we can be able to progress it and probably discuss more things that you guys would like as well. Jai. Yeah. So thank you so much, Asthitapa Prabhu, for having us.
Again.
Yeah. And thank you everyone as well, Jai. All right.